would you take these words now and speak to us through them? I ask in your name. Amen. Please be seated. Sister Grace lived in a convent that overlooked a street in the city in which the convent was. And one day she received a letter from her family. And she opened the letter up and read the letter. And inside the letter was also a $100 bill. And she was delighted as she read this letter. She was standing by the window of the convent. And as she finished reading the letter, she looked down and she saw a shabbily dressed man standing on the street leaning up against a lamppost. And so she felt led to give him the $100 bill. And so she wrote a note on there in which she said, "Don't despair, Sister Grace." And so she wrapped up the $100 bill in the note and threw it out the window. And the man saw it and he went and picked it up and opened the note and read what it said. And he tipped his hat to Sister Grace and then he hurried off. So the next day, one of the nuns came to the door and said that there was a man downstairs looking for her. And so she went down and there was this guy. And he didn't say a word to her. He just handed her a whole wad of $100 bills. And she said, "Well, what's this?" And he said, "Well, this is your $8,000. Don't despair, paid 80 to 1. Sometimes when we give money to people, we don't exactly know what they're going to do with it. And I know there have been many times that I've given money to people that have asked me for money, and I suspect that maybe some of them spend it on drugs or alcohol. Some of them may have spent it on food. Some of them may have spent it paying for bills. But, you know, it's always a question of what's going to happen when we give somebody some money. And certainly, it's easy for me, if I'm not careful, to become jaded and skeptical and look at everybody as someone who's always out to take advantage of someone and harden my heart and not really do anything to help those in need. So I have to really be careful for that. But there's something, in our gospel lesson today, really Jesus gave me an insight that has helped me for many years in this whole area of giving to those in need. So I'd like to focus on that, if you wouldn't mind, and you'll turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 25, which we just read from in our gospel lesson. In the Pew Bibles, it's on page 1545. Matthew chapter 25, starting at verse 31. And in this particular passage, Jesus is telling a parable. And he's also preparing his disciples for an eventuality that will happen when he would be arrested, he would be crucified, he would be buried in a tomb, and 3 days later he would come out of that tomb and he would appear to his disciples and others over a 40-day period. And then he would ascend into heaven. And so he's preparing them for that eventuality. But along with that, he's preparing them for the fact that when he comes back again, he will usher in the new heavens and the new earth about which he speaks in Revelation. And he will also usher in the judgment of God, that time in which God will judge all people who come to stand before him. As they judge him, as the parable says today, he will separate the sheep from the goats. And obviously the sheep are referring to those who are his followers, those who belong to him, and the goats are those who don't. And so he talks about the fact that those who are the sheep, if you will, are those who will enter into a life of peace, joy, and love with him. Those who are goats really go to a place where Jesus calls a place of eternal punishment, a place of experiencing the wrath of God there. Those who are saved will have eternal life, and those described as not being saved are those who really experience eternal death in a sense. Jesus describes those who are saved as those who do certain things. And so as you'll see in verse 34, he says, "Then the king will say to those at his right, 'Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. I needed clothes and you clothed me. I was sick and you looked after me. I was in prison and you came to visit me.'" And of course, the righteous then went on to say, "When did we see you that way? When did we see you in any of those conditions and not help you out?" And so Jesus then says those famous words, "Truly I tell you, whatever you did to the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me." When we read about those, when we read about this parable, we also read that Jesus said those that didn't do any of those things will certainly be those who didn't do it for Jesus. And so they will end up not receiving the rewards that those who did the good things for others. And so it's tempting for us to kind of think that the things that we do for people, the good things we do, are going to be things that are going to help get us into heaven, are going to make us acceptable to God. That if we do these things, if we help these people in need, then that's going to assure that we get into heaven. We have to be careful not to make a pretext out of a particular passage. We have to understand Scripture as a whole. And so to that end, I want us to look at another passage, which is in Ephesians chapter 2. So if you'll turn in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 2, on page 1815 of the Pew Bibles. And in this particular passage, St. Paul, who had, if you remember, a dramatic conversion experience where he met the risen Christ on the road to Damascus, his life so transformed from a Jew who was all about trying to do good works and obey the law so that he could be accepted by God, to now having a whole new perspective on things. Paul now understands the grace of God in a whole new way. He realizes now that salvation is not based upon something that he does, but rather on what Christ has already done. And so in chapter 2, verse 1, St. Paul, who is very familiar with the idea of trying to work his way into God's favor and obey his way into heaven, said this to the Ephesian church in verse 1. "As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of the world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath." So Paul is saying here that he, along with everybody else in the world, because of sin, is deserving of the wrath of God. And so he's saying he used to live under the shadow of that wrath. He used to live under the shadow of that fear of punishment. But verse 4, he says, "Because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus." So then he gets to verse 8. That's what I want to focus on at this time. He says, "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this not from yourselves, it is a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast." Paul is saying here that you're not saved by helping the needy. You're not saved by clothing those that are naked. You're not saved by giving drink to those who are thirsty. You're not saved by doing any of those things. It is by grace you have been saved through faith. And that's not of yourself. It is a gift of God, not of works, so that none of us can boast about doing enough to earn our salvation. But then he has this caveat in verse 10. He says, "For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." And so the good works that we're called to do, and about which we read in our gospel lesson today, are the good works that God has prepared in advance for us to do. The good works that he will direct and guide us to fulfilling as he brings people into our lives that need help in various ways. We have an opportunity to do good things for people as Christ brings them into our lives and as he directs us in the best way to help that person. For some, it may mean giving them money. For some, it may mean giving them our time. For some, it may mean just giving them our abilities, our talents to help them in whatever they need. Sometimes it may mean doing something which may not seem all that helpful, but may end up being quite a blessing. There's a man by the name of Tony Campolo who was in a church in Oregon. And he tells the story of a time where a man in the service was brought to him. And this man had cancer. And so he was asked to pray for this man. So Tony said that he prayed a very powerful prayer, a really believing prayer that God was going to heal this man. And so when he finished his prayer, they left the service that day. And he said the next week he got a telephone call from this man's wife. And she said, "You prayed for my husband. He had cancer." Capallo thought as he heard this that she was going to go on and say how this man was cured and how he was now doing great. And instead, as he was thinking about this, she said, "He died." Well, Capallo he felt terrible about this. And so she continued, "Don't feel bad. When he came into the church that Sunday, he was filled with anger. He knew he was going to be dead in a short period of time, and he hated God. He said he was 58 years old, and he wanted to see his children and grandchildren grow up. He was angry that this all-powerful God didn't take away his sickness and heal him. He would lie in bed and curse God. The more his anger grew towards God, the more miserable he was to everyone around him. It was an awful thing to be in his presence." But the lady told Capallo, "After you prayed for him, a peace came over him and a joy had come into him. Tony, these last 3 days have been the best days of our lives. We've sung, we've laughed, we've read scripture, we've prayed. Oh, they've been wonderful days. And I call to thank you for laying your hands on him and praying for healing." And then she said something that was incredibly profound. She said, "He wasn't cured, but he was healed. He wasn't cured, but he was healed." You never know but what some act of kindness, some prayer that you might offer someone by the laying on of your hands and praying for them, some little act of kindness, giving them some money or whatever, some sacrifice of your time, might make some difference in their life that you never, ever realize. A dozen years ago, there was a man by the name of Cruz and a woman by the name of Debbie Santiago. And they met on Coney Island Beach in New York City. And they were homeless. They were addicted to drugs. They were involved in witchcraft. They were involved in gangs. They lived in a makeshift shelter beneath the Coney Island boardwalk. That was their home, except for when they were in jail, which was kind of their home away from home. And then one evening, Debbie was in jail and something happened to her. It was a little thing, a thing that really didn't seem like very much, but it was something that ended up making a big difference in her life. A female guard handed Debbie a Bible. Now, what about the guard? Did she expect something to happen when she gave her this Bible? Probably not, because she'd given Bibles out to inmates before, and certainly she'd never seen any change happen to those people. But Debbie began to read the Bible, and she began to read it over and over and over again, and it fascinated her. And she didn't have anything else to do anyway, except to read, so that's what she did. But then she fell into using drugs again after she was released. She ended up in a hospital in a coma, and she woke up to the hissing rhythm of the respirator. She woke up at death's door. She had been at death's door many times before, and now she was right on the brink. But this time was different. Because she had been reading her Bible, this time she knew what to do. This time she asked God to release her from the hold that drugs had over her life, and he did. She also dedicated her life to Christ, and Christ made all the difference in the world in her life. When she was released from the hospital, she went to see Cruz in jail. And Cruz noticed a difference about her. "She was clean," he said. "She talked about the Lord. She left me a Bible." And soon after that, Cruz became a Christian himself. In 1988, Cruz and Debbie were married, and they went on to start a ministry on Coney Island. It was called the Salt and Sea Mission. They helped people just like they used to be. They helped people that were homeless, people that were hungry, people that were addicted to drugs, people that were in all sorts of conditions. They fed people that came to them with a need. Many times they would feed 60 people in an ordinary day and hundreds at Thanksgiving. They operated a latchkey program that helped over 350 kids that were kind of housed in a nearby welfare hotel. Every Sunday after church, they walked down the beach and they poked into secluded places and gave people a piece of bread and gave them the bread of life as well. All because a jail guard gave a Bible to a junkie. There are so many needs around us, so many people that have needs. It can be overwhelming. We can see the needs of people and we say, man, I'm just one person. What difference can I make? How can I help out in this situation? We might think to ourselves, there's really nothing much that I can do. But when we do something for someone else with the right attitude and with the right heart, we're doing it for Jesus, it says. When we do something for Jesus, we can leave the results up to Him. We don't have to be so cynical and so skeptical or so fearful of giving to those in need. Certainly, we believe that God will bring to us people that He wants us to help. But He will also indicate to us the way we are to help them. For some people, it may involve giving money. For some people, it may involve just spending time with them. For some people, it may involve some other sacrifice that we can make for them. But whatever the case may be, God will direct and guide us to doing that. Now, you might say, well, what if I can't recognize God directing and guiding me to do that? Well, you might look at the compassion that you have in your heart. If you have compassion for that person, that may be God's indication that He wants you to help that person in some way. He might be also directing you not to help that person. That's okay as well. Whatever the Lord might direct, just take a step of faith and do that which He asks you to do. And I believe that as we reach out and help those in need, that God will bless us. Now, we don't do that in order to be blessed by God, but that is a result of us being a blessing to others. We not only are blessed by seeing them being blessed, but we also are opening ourselves up to receive a blessing from God. I like what John Wesley, the great Methodist preacher, said one time. He said this, "Do all the good you can, by all the means you can, in all the ways you can, in all the places you can, at all the times you can, to all the people you can, as long as ever you can." Let me say that again. That's great, a great quote. Do all the good you can, by all the means you can, in all the ways you can, in all the places you can, and all the times you can, to all the people you can, as long as ever you can. Let us pray. Father, we know that so often we encounter people that we're afraid are taking advantage of us or are just using us to get something from us. And Lord, it's so easy to become skeptical and hard-hearted and not look at someone as if we're looking at you. And yet our parable today, Lord, you remind us that when we do something for someone else, if we do it with the right attitude, with the right heart, with the right motivation, then we're actually doing it for you. So, Lord, help us to recognize those times where you bring opportunities into our lives to help others. Help us to distinguish between those that you want us to help and those that you don't at that time. Help us to determine ways that we are to help them and how we are to best do that in a way that would be most beneficial for them. Ultimately, Lord, help us to make a difference, at least in the life of one other person, so that perhaps they can go on to make a difference in the lives of many others. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.